Welcome to the Calvary Community Church Podcast. For more content and information about Calvary, please visit our website at calvaryhouston.com.
We build in time in our services also to share a few testimonies, and normally I don't have the privilege to do that, but today I want to bring some reports and some testimonies to you. First of all, Margaret was talking about our partnership with Haregrove Elementary. As you know, we partner as Copperfield Church, Calvary Community Church, and we partner to help an at-risk school, Title I school in our community that's 88% economically disadvantaged. And on Friday, I had the privilege to pray with the staff there at Haregrove. They invited us to come and to pray. And by the way, I want to say thanks again to all the volunteers helping us with our Haregrove partnership and all the different ways that you volunteer. I know this past week, we provided lunch for the staff as they were coming back for this full week of intensive activities for the teachers and the staff. And so they were very grateful for that. They're just grateful for everything that we do. As we heard from Miss Michelle Lee this past Sunday, as she gave a great report as we prayed for back to school. But this report, she was so excited after we finished praying. She said, "Don't leave, I got to tell you something." And she said, "Haregrove is one of two elementary schools in the district of 55 elementary schools that got all six distinctions in their rating process. There's only one Title I elementary campus in Cy-Fair ISD that did this, and they were the one Title I school that got that rating." And then the distinctions, there's six of them. I'm not going to give that all to you, but to let you know that the state compares them to 40 other elementary schools with the same demographics. And so, you know, we talk about our partnership actually changes the trajectory of children for good, literally making a difference in their lives academically, socially, in so many different ways. But I was just super excited when I got that report. So we want to celebrate that and give thanks. We're talking this morning about giving thanks. And then I had another testimony that was given me just recently. As you know, we pray for people. We believe that Jesus still heals, saves, delivers, and encourages today, just like always. And Diana Posthauer was sharing through Lewis. He was just giving a testimony. She had a knee that was messed up and going to require surgery. As a matter of fact, she's supposed to go back to the doctor to get x-rays to, you know, to do the whole surgical procedure, and she could hardly get around. And because of the prayers of the saints, the Lord healed her knee, and she's bouncing around and doing pretty well, right, Diana? So that's amazing. And then after our healing service last Sunday night, we got this email from Lorinda White. "In the last 4 years, I fractured both of my feet, and in the past few weeks, I tore a tendon in my left foot. And you prayed for me in the healing service, and now the pain and the limping are gone. Our God heals completely. He told me to get walking." And so isn't that a great testimony? So, and so, Lord, we just want to thank you. We just want to say thank you for the way that you move, for the way that you work in our lives. Thank you that you are near. Thank you that you are with us. And Lord, we want to keep praying and standing in the gap. You told us in Luke chapter 11 to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking. Lord, we continue to pray for those that have not yet seen the breakthrough in whatever area that they're praying for. God, we are grateful that this is a congregation that will stand with and pray and fight for one another with you helping us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for this privilege of partnering with you on your mission to bring wholeness to our lives in every way. And so thank you that you answer prayer. And thank you that in delayed prayer, God, you're still present, you're still ministering, you're still helping and touching. Lord, we really tell you again, we love you, we need you. And this morning, as we spend time in your word, I pray you'll speak to us. I pray you'll continue to illumine our hearts and our minds by the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Jesus, that you will have your way in our midst, and we welcome you now to continue speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been in a several-part series on celebrating Calvary's history, celebrating what God has been doing in our midst, and the anniversary celebration that's coming up on September the 23rd through the 25th is our 40th anniversary. So it's a really big deal numerically. It's a big deal in what God is doing. And when I asked Joshua Rushing to lead a team way back in the summer last year to help us to get prepared and to work toward this event, because you can't throw a celebration together like that overnight. As they were beginning to do it, it's just been on my calendar. It's been an assignment. It's been a task. It's been something that we're really looking forward to. But a couple of weeks ago, I began to get super excited about the event itself. I began to realize that, you know, there's when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River into the promised land, that was a clear line of demarcation for them, wasn't it? I mean, they set up the stones at Gilgal, memorial stones. That's what we do at Thanksgiving and memorials, like we're doing this time, to celebrate what God has done. But that day, all the manna and the quail, it stopped that day, and they began to live from the provision of the land itself. And they had a breakthrough, and then they're actually literally possessing the land that God gave to them. And something's happening in my spirit where I realized, you know, I've been just wanting to get there and celebrate and have a great time, but I really now am just sensing it's going to be a line of crossing for us. There's going to be something significant for us in the spirit and what the Lord wants to do. And I want to invite you to pray that way. I want you to invite that we'll possess all the plans, the purposes, the promises, the prophetic words that God has given to us. And then even recently, as I was meditating on that passage in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, the Lord Jesus says there over and over again, God himself says over and over, I will be with you, I will be with you, I will be with you. And I have another P for the promised land that God's given us, the presence of God. It was like, you know how you slap yourself and said, I should have had a V8. You know, that's what I realized. I go, God, it's your presence. Your presence. We want your promises, your plans, your purposes, the prophetic words, everything you've spoken over us in our history. We want to be a part of that. But God, we want to remind you, your presence is what matters to us at Calvary. And God says, I promised that. I want to do that. So I'm praying we have breakthroughs in new ways. We have new levels of intimacy with the Lord. Well, we've been speaking about Calvary's history. We talked about our history that began back in 1982. We've talked about some of the events that have happened through our years. The past 3 weeks, we've been talking about community. I want to talk about community this morning because we're a people who remember and celebrate the skills which God has given to us to do life together and to do life with the triune God. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 27 to 30. Last week, we considered the why of community. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the skills. I want to remind us of some of the skills that God has taught us so that we can actually enter in to the level of intimacy, authenticity, and action alignment that we want to have as the people of God here at Calvary Community Church. Now, before I do that, I want to remind you about the learning process. By the way, I'm really not interested in you getting a lot of information from the messages that we do here at Calvary. I want you to experience transformation. And so for transformation to happen, you get information, and then you have to take time to reflect on that information, and then you practice or you get in action around it, and then you repeat the process. So the learning process is you receive new content, you receive new information, and then what are you going to do with that information? Now, I mean, you can come to church, or you can go to Bible study, or you can spend time in your spiritual practices, or God can do those divine appointments that he does with us and just sets up this learning opportunity, and we go, wow, the Lord's speaking to me, but what are you going to do with it? I want to invite you to try it on. I want to invite you to try it on. Try on what you're hearing or what you're learning, and I want you to do that from our times together. Is what I'm hearing, if what I'm learning, if what am I experiencing is true, how is this supposed to impact my life? So I'm hoping that as we spend time this morning, that you're listening to the Holy Spirit, that you're paying attention to Jesus. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice. They listen to me. By the way, every one of you in this room and online, you have the capacity to tune in to the voice of God. And so we know that he doesn't always speak audibly, right? There's 14 ways that Pastor Steve has shared with us, and that was just off the top of his head, of different ways that the scripture says God speaks through dreams, through visions. There's spiritual gifts. He speaks through creation. He speaks through conscience. He speaks through other people. He can even speak through a sermon. Can you imagine? And so God speaks in all these different ways. Are we paying attention? Are we aware? What are we going to do with what God is sharing with us? So this morning, we're actually going to get to practice several times so that I won't cause anxiety later. I don't want panic to hit later. I want you to think about right now, what are two or three things that you're grateful for? You're grateful for to the Lord. Use your phone, use your journal, use your friend next to you as a sounding board and just tell them this is what it is. Help me to remember when he asks us a little bit later. But I want you to think about what are you thankful for? Psalm chapter 50, verse 23. He who gives thanks to God honors him and prepares the way for him to do more. As a matter of fact, Psalm 50 is actually a judgment passage, and verse 22 says that you've forgotten me. How have you forgotten me? Because you don't give me thanks. There are things that happen in our lives every day. Like in the middle of worship, I was just reminded about the answered prayer for rain. And we need to be a people who are grateful, who express gratitude. And by the way, to create a lower level of anxiety, I'm not going to ask you out loud to share those things you're thankful for. I'm just going to ask you to participate, right? So there's information, and then there's reflection. You need to make space and time for reflection with the Lord. You want to engage in spiritual activities where you're creating space to think deeply about yourself, to observe what God is doing in your life and around you, and to listen intently to the voice of God. So God can be speaking. You can have this information, this new assignment, this new activity, this new practice, but if you don't take time to reflect on it and let it become a part of who you are, then that information just sits on the soil of your heart, as it were, and it never gets in and never accomplishes what it was designed to do. So there's information, there's reflection, but then there is practice. We need to get in action around what we're hearing and what we're learning. We practice. Practice is actually the place where we make progress. And so you have to practice. Whatever skill you want to learn, whatever new thing you want to do, you've got to practice in order for it to become a part of who you are and a part of your nature. We practice our way into a new and a better way of being as we align with and we get in action around what the Lord is showing us to do. Again, if we just hear, the scripture says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. And so we want to be a people who get in action. And then finally, the fourth step is to repeat those previous steps. Because if you've gotten some new information, you begin to reflect on it in practice, you're going to get new information, you're going to get feedback as you're doing it, and you're going, what's working, what's not working, how can I do this better, where am I stuck? By the way, if you get stuck in your spiritual journey, would you ask for help? It's very important to ask a friend. You want to ask somebody that can help you as a friend to pray for you, or you want to ask a coach, or you want to ask a small group leader, or you want to ask a pastor, a counselor. When you get stuck in the journey, you don't have to stay stuck. You can actually appeal to someone to pray with you and to stand with you and even help you to get unstuck in your journey. I had a divine appointment in an area where God is teaching me about self-care. And I was really in action last year. And then for the first 6 months of this year, my ability to get in action really got thwarted. And I was really stuck in my process. And then with my coach, we had a divine appointment, and he just shared some things, and it literally shifted my understanding, my mindset, and got me back traction again so that I could make progress. And so we all need help from time to time, so ask for it. I want to encourage you. And don't wait too long to ask. Don't wait too long to ask. You know, when I was doing the Discover Calvary class a while back, I just mentioned in there, you know, sometimes people wait till the last minute to let me know that they have a prayer need, or they have a problem, or they have a marital issue that they're working on. And, you know, they'll call me really late at night and say, hey, this is an emergency. Can you help me with this? And I go, well, how long have you been dealing with this sickness or this illness or this issue or whatever? Well, about 10 years. And but it's an emergency tonight. And I said, well, it can wait till the morning, right? We can deal with it in the morning. We just procrastinate sometimes. We just put it off. So I just want to encourage you, ask, and ask sooner than later. If you're thinking about asking, just go ahead and ask, right? Ask a friend, ask a counselor, ask a coach, ask a pastor, ask somebody, ask your small group to pray with you. A key for us in our spiritual and emotional formation journey is that information alone does not result in transformation. If information were all it takes, more people would be experiencing transformation. And Lord, we thank you for the rain. Isn't that good? That's a great sound, isn't it? I actually walked out in it the other day and just said, I just got to get me some of this. So the Bible has been available to us for years and years and years. We have thousands of books at our fingertips. We have the internet. If there's something that you want to know, you just Google it, right? You just Google it. Or as my daughter tells me, I don't Google anything. I YouTube it. You know, I never even think about doing that. And then we believe that we can experience and practice the right information. And that's what leads to transformation. So I want you to hear that sentence again. We believe that we need to experience and practice the right information, and that's what leads us to transformation. It's not just the information alone. I mean, I know a lot of people who know a lot of things, but they're not transformed spiritually or emotionally or relationally. And so as a result, we need to engage in a repeated process of information, practice, and reflection. So what I want to do is I want to go back to the word that the Lord gave us for 2021. This is 22, if you've slept a little bit. So this is 22. I want to go back to 21. That's why you're in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 to 30. And I want us to look at this word that the Lord gave us. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That was the word he gave us. There were four characteristics that he wanted to build into our lives through that. And we're going to look at those, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to tie the things that we have said God's wanting to do and the new learnings that we're experiencing regarding community. And I'm going to emphasize how we build the community that God wants us to have together with one another and with God. You and I were actually created for attachment to God and to one another. We need God and we need each other. And so we've actually been learning some new skills to help us to get in action even around this word, this information that God gave us last year. Do you see how this works? God will continue to speak to you, and then you have the opportunity to get in action with what he's saying. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then Paul says, whether I come to you and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they'll be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you're going through the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. And then chapter 4, verse 4 of Philippians says, rejoice always, and again I'll say it, rejoice. So that's the word that the Lord gave us for last year. Our King wants us to align with what he says, what he does, and with how he feels. That's what God is inviting us to do. So to conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, no matter what happens, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, no matter what comes our way, it calls for four things, that passage tells us: steadfastness, unity, courage, and joy. Steadfastness, unity, courage, and joy. And so we grow in these four capacities of alignment and action with what the Lord wants us to be. So steadfastness, stand firm in one spirit, verse 27 says. And we preached a message back in February of 21. And in that message, we said that if you don't quit, you win. If you don't quit, you win. God invites us to fight the good fight of faith, to stay engaged in the journey, in the places that he's called us to. And so Ephesians chapter 6 actually talks about spiritual warfare, where you wrestle. You know, we're wrestling and fighting and having done all to stand. Just standing when everybody else is laid out around you is victory. And so God calls us to be steadfast. He who endures to the end shall be saved, and God is able to help us both to endure and to persevere. And we're actually invited to live in this extreme center with God's ministry and message of reconciliation. One of the things that God wants us to do in this day is to be ministers, and we want to have a message of God's reconciling power, of how God reaches out no matter what extreme people are in, no matter what people believe politically, economically, socially. Our God loves people, and he wants us to be a people who can stand there in the gap, and we can do the work, Matthew chapter 5, of peacemaker, not just peacekeeping, where we actually deal with issues and bring wholeness and bring reconciliation and bring restoration. We want to be a part of that work of God. So one of the ways that God wants us to align and get in action with him is by being steadfast, standing firm in one spirit. And then unity, contending as one for the faith of the gospel. And we shared two messages back in February of last year about this issue of how to show up in a way that promotes unity and expresses humility. Now, hear those words. We want to show up in a way that promotes unity and expresses humility. And in our culture, where everybody knows what they know and they're right and everybody else is wrong, that's really hard to do. But God wants us to be a people who simply express this. It's hard work to be unified. I mean, it's hard work for a marriage to work. It's hard work for a faith community to work. It's hard work to be in a community at all, nationally and even internationally. We are prone to divisiveness. We're prone to dividing. We're prone to biting and devouring one another without the help of God. But God wants us to do the work toward unity. And we said over and over again, unity is not uniformity, but it's in the midst of diversity. Everybody is different. Everybody is unique. We all are placed in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about that description of the body. And we're uniquely placed as God wills, verse 18 says. We're uniquely placed so that this whole body can reveal the whole nature of Jesus Christ. And then every congregation in Houston is not supposed to be a cookie cutter, not supposed to be alike, but every congregation in our city of Greater Houston is called to express a part of the nature of God. And if one church could do it all, we wouldn't need the other congregations. If one church could reach Houston, Texas, we would have already reached Greater Houston by now, because everybody, I mean, we have the largest number of mega churches of any city in the United States of America. But the solution for Houston, Texas is not us doing our own thing. God makes us need one another as churches, as a community, as an area, just like a congregation, or as an individual. We've got to work together. And I want to say, working together is really hard. It takes practice, doesn't it? Because I could do this a lot easier if it weren't for people, is what we think. Like, I used to pray that way. I remember in the early 90s, I was praying. I said, Lord, ministry would be really easy if it wasn't for people. I heard a friend, we were praying this week with a group of friends, and this person said, we were asking about challenges that you face, and this person said, you know, I could be really successful at what I'm doing except for the people around me. They're a severe challenge for me. And so when I was complaining to the Lord about the ministry would be easy without people, I got this impression from the Lord, I became one. He likes people. He likes humans, right? In our frailties, in our weaknesses, in our stuffages, right? He likes us. He likes humanity. Jesus is the Son of Man and the Son of God. He is the way we're supposed to live as humans, fully filled, fully surrendered, fully available to God. And so in the early 90s, I had to stop saying that phrase, and I hadn't said that in years and years until just this week when that person reminded me. I did not bear witness to their testimony. I didn't want to explain. They can find out on their own what God's saying. But we need people, right? We need each other. That's a revelation for us, especially in our independence. We are actually interdependent. And so we also talked about the skill of differentiation of self. Listen, you need to share for the sake of whatever group you're a part of, what you think, what you feel, and believe. By the way, share with gentleness and respect, right? Speak the truth in love. Okay, now you can do all this and do it in a combative way or an unhelpful way or a challenging way, but we need to show up and we need to play full out and we need to say, this is what I think, feel, and believe, and we need to let other people say what they think, feel, and believe. And then when they do that and they don't think, feel, and believe like we think, feel, and believe, rather than cutting off or disconnecting, we actually work at staying connected. Now think about your family tree. In your family tree, you're missing branches from your family tree probably. There was Uncle Ralph or Aunt Jane, and they're not invited to Thanksgiving. They're not invited to Christmas because when they show up, they stir up everybody's anxiety, and Christmas and Thanksgiving are hard enough with the normal family members, right? And so they're not allowed. Have you seen that in your family system, your family trees? If not, you are blessed, blessed, blessed. But most people, there are people that say, is so-and-so going to be there? I'm not going to be there. And then that's disconnecting, right? So the hard work is when somebody shares what they think, feel, and believes, and it's not what you think, feel, and believe. Because then we move into, hey, I've got to fix you. I've got to change you. I've got to persuade you. I've got to combat you, right? I know that never happens in your life. It only happens in mine, but that's just our reality. And so steadfastness, unity, and then courage without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Fear is not supposed to rule our lives. In the face of brokenness, trials, tragedies, trauma, in the midst of lies, opposition, attack, and evil, we have the capacity to choose courage rather than fear and doubt. We have that capacity because the God of all faith, the God of all courage, lives in us and walks with us because he helps us. Now, we can't choose courage in the midst of those things without God helping us. And so with God helping me, I can be a person of courage rather than fear, rather than of doubt. So one practical way to grow in your courage, we talked about a skill, is to walk in the light or to have transformation conversations. You need to share with others what is going on in your life for the sake of prayer. Now, you also need a safe place to do that, right? So if you share with others and they begin to fix you, control you, or try to change you, that's not helpful. That'll shut you down. So find places where you can be who you are, because a lot of us wait till our testimonies are finished before we share with anybody what's going on. Why do we do that? Well, a part of it is we want to help protect ourselves. But it's way more powerful in dealing with the people that don't know God in where you live, work, and play, or in your spheres of influence. You might as well share your brokenness and share what you're going through because they already know you're broken, right? As Christians, we want to wait until we're fixed before we share, but they want to know, how is God helping you right now in this current mess you're in? And the mess might be he's working on you in patience, or he's working on you with that skill of differentiation of self, or working on you with courage, or maybe you're being tempted to give up, and how is God helping you to be steadfast? You see, if we shared more of our journeys and we felt free to do that in safe places, we would do that, and it's actually a powerful witnessing tool in our spheres of influence, and it's a great way. And then people go, well, if God can do that for you, maybe he can do that for me. because they know you're not any different than they are. You're just walking this out as best you can. So steadfastness, and then unity, and then courage, and then joy. Joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Whatever we go through and whatever we experience, we're a people who choose. Hear that word. We're a people who choose to respond in joy, to express joy, and to live from a place of joy. And you can even experience and express joy in the face of the negative, the big emotions, the big negative emotions that we face in this world. For instance, you can experience joy and grief. You can experience joy and discouragement. How does that happen? When you attach to God and then people get around you when you suffered loss, it's not what they say. It's not, did they have the right words, or did they know how to pray for you? Just them being with you and saying, we're with you in this loss, in this suffering, in this trial, in this place. That attachment actually fuels joy, and it's joy and grief, joy and loss, joy and discouragement, joy and whatever it is. You can experience big emotions, even negative emotions, and still experience joy, because joy is something that comes from God. That comes from attachment to God, and when we attach to other people, that also helps us, because they help us to attach to God. And so I want to talk about three practices, three ways to increase our joy. So these are some of the practices. Remember, I said there's information, there's reflection, there's practice, and then there's repeat. These are three of the things, and I want you to pick one of these, or maybe all three. I want you to pick, and I want you to get an action around these. We're actually going to practice in the service today, but hopefully you'll get an action around them this next week. So three practices: express gratitude, connect with others eye to eye and face to face, and then celebrate growth. Celebrate growth. Three practices. These are three practices that'll increase your joy. Now remember, what we know is that God created us for attachment to Him and to one another. We also know neuroscience is teaching us today, and neurotheologians are teaching us today, that God hardwired our brains to live on the fuel of joy. Now, people try to find substitutes because they're not finding joy in the Lord. They're using drugs, they're using whatever it is. It doesn't matter. You can get addicted to anything. You can fill that with anything. Video games. I mean, you can just think of a myriad of things. We can fill it with false pleasures. We can fill it with all sorts of things. But we were actually designed to run on the fuel of joy. How do you get joy? How do you fuel joy? Well, joy comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. God is the source of our joy, and not only is God the source of our joy, but as we attach to Him and we attach to one another, our tank gets filled so we can run on that fuel, and we don't get addicted and we don't get destroyed by those false things, because you can only run on the fuel of fear for so long, right? I mean, anger and fear, those are really, really bad fuels to put into the fuel tank. But what does our world appeal to today? It wants to get you stirred up through fear and through anger, or whatever it is that's happening. So express gratitude to God and others. As I shared, by the way, my notes are online, because there's an addendum there for those of you that want to score an A+ after today. You can go online and you can read more about what we're saying about these different practices. I'm just going to highlight them for you, but those resources are there on our website under sermons. So we want to express gratitude to God and to others, and the verse that you can associate with that is Psalm 50:23. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you do that? Well, if you've not been practicing, when bad things happen to you, it's hard to be full of joy. It's hard to turn that event into a prayer, and it's hard to express thanks, right? And by the way, there's a false spirituality that says, oh, Lord, thank you for this flat tire that I just got. I've never prayed that way. Lord, thank you that I was able to get off the road and get on the shoulder of the road. Lord, thank you for the person. We've been on mission trips before where we have a flat, and then people just come out of the woodwork to help you to change the flat. I'll never forget, I was on a mission trip in Nigeria. We're actually on the return trip. I'm on the road to the airport, and it's a two-lane road in the Port Harcourt area, and this person passes us on this two-lane road going really, really fast. It caused the lady who was driving toward us in the other lane, she had to swerve to miss them. She hit the grass and the dirt on the side of the road. She overcorrected, and I'm watching all this in slow motion. She's now coming toward our car. That's not where she should be. And so she hits our car, and we're spinning and going, and we jump out of the car to go check on her because she's quite a ways behind us now. And the pastor that was driving the car was going, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Jeff, can you see this? If we hadn't been right here, she would have gone into this culvert. She would have been killed as she went over the side of the road. And we kept her from doing that. That's gratitude. You hear what I'm saying? That's gratitude. And then these three guys on their little motorbikes pull up to our car, and they look back there, and our wheel is, I mean, I thought our car was inoperable, undrivable. And they looked at it. They said, hey, all it did was cause your back tire to pop. If you've got a spare, we'll change it for you. And they came along, and they changed it for, I'm thinking, I am not making my flight today when this is unfolding, right? They changed it. We're back on the road to the airport in 15 minutes. It's easy to give thanks in those moments, right? But what if your ice maker goes out for a month or two? Or your air conditioner in Houston, Texas? Oh God, would you help me to see the good in this, right? Lord, would you thank you that I'm getting to live with my kids. Thank you that I've got friends in my small group that invited me to come and live with them. You know, you can find something to be grateful for. So, I want you to make journal entries of gratitude moments and reflect on those golden memories. How do you fuel your joy? One of those is to be a thankful person. How do you become a thankful person? You can make long lists of Thanksgiving. That's a great way to do it. My journal is filled with Thanksgiving. Then, in the past 2 years, I learned to stop and do a second part, which is write down something I'm thankful for, pray it back to God, and say, by the way, Lord, what do you think of this? And then he shares with you, you get an impression of what he thinks about that thing that you express thanksgiving to, and you write that down, and then you can share with others, hey, listen to this conversation I'm having with the Lord, because our God speaks today, and you're not just making up scripture, you're having an interaction with a real person, and this is encouraging, and they'll be encouraged by it. But there's a third thing that you can do with gratitude is you want to write down your gratitude moments. So think about something that was super meaningful to you that's happened in your life for which you're grateful. Write that down and then pull up that picture of that gratitude moment. That moment of gratitude when you were grateful for whatever it is. Might have been the birth of a child. It might have been the job that God provided for you. It could be anything. Then pull that up and begin to reflect on it and ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me to remember and experience real time what I experienced back then? Use your holy imagination. Just begin to feed on it and experience it, and then record that as a golden memory. And then what you want to do at certain times, maybe weekly, regularly, however often you need to, what you want to do is you want to look at those golden moments those Thanksgiving moments and remember those golden memories. And as you sit before it, it'll actually fuel your joy as you're talking with the Lord about it and you're re-experiencing that. Now, that whole detail is in my notes, but there are three things. If you can't get to the third one, just start with listing your Thanksgiving, right? Then one more step I want to invite you to do, which is actually changing my gratitude, is to ask, Lord, what does he think about it? And then I also have now about four or five or six of these golden memories, these moments of gratitude, where when I bring them up, I begin to relive them and experience them. And I'm telling you, that'll fuel your joy in the Lord as you're talking with him, as you're expressing your gratitude to him, and as you lean into that. So how do we increase our joy? Number one, express thanks. Express thanks. By the way, express thanks to people too. Tell them you're grateful for them, thankful for them. Then number two, connect with others. Connect with others eye to eye, face to face, and practice letting your face light up when you see others. Practice. So some of you need to announce to your face that you're really glad to be here this morning. Yeah? So, 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Then Numbers chapter 6, listen to this passage, Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Now, when you think of God looking at you, is that a threat or is that a source of joy? Is it displeasure or is it inviting? You see, the scripture talks about hesed love in the Old Testament. The word hesed is the word for love and in the Old Testament. And God actually is happy. He is happy to be around you. He is happy to be a part of your life. He actually wants you to know he's happy around you. That's how much God loves you. And you go, well, but he doesn't know all that I've done. He doesn't know how broken I am. He doesn't know where I've fallen short. Say what? If he knew me, if they knew me, well, he does know you and he still really likes you. He created you in his image. You're an image bearer. Now, it might be marred. It might be vandalized. It might be dusty and dirty. But there's still this reality when God sees you, praise God, he doesn't see you just the way you are. He also sees how he made you and what he destined for you. That was an interesting thing when we first had children. I looked at this little guy, and I looked at him, and I could actually see this adult guy and this little guy, and that was the weirdest thing, that I could see things about, these are characteristics of who this person is, and they're just in their formative stages here, and I'm not God. And I was sitting there looking at that. That's just an amazing thing in dealing with our children. You look at them and they're getting flustered because they're trying to learn new skills and they're in the different developmental stages. And you're going, hey, you're going to be okay. You're going to grow up. You're going to get bigger. You're going to change. You're going to learn. But man, I really like you. I really like being with you. And so the face of Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, his face lights up. It is lit up with the glory of God. The glory not to destroy you or say you anger me, you frustrate me. Now, does God convict? Absolutely. Does God discipline? Absolutely. Does God work in our lives to say, hey, let's not do this. This is not helpful. Let's do this. Absolutely. But he does that as a good parent, right? As a loving God. And so, we need to be a people, and this is where we're going to practice. Now, so I'm not talking about being an extrovert, okay? I'm not an extrovert. But I know that when I see people, if I give a big old smile, and I open up my blue eyes, And I just get, and I say, it's really good to see you. That makes people feel good, right? And you make people feel good. Or we have that other look that says, I wish you weren't here. And I wished I wasn't either. That look, that's unhelpful, right? And so practice connecting with each other eye to eye and then letting our faces light up. I really like being with you. Or you might be praying to yourself saying, Lord, it's a stretch, but that's my hope in you. I'm working toward that, right? Connect with others eye to eye, face to face. Number three, celebrate growth. Celebrate growth. No matter where you are in your journey, you have something to celebrate. No matter where you are. The fact that you're still here is something to celebrate. The fact that you're having transformation conversations or walking the light or just the fact that you learned a new skill today in giving thanks and you're going to try that on. The fact that you heard about letting your face shine and light up. Why? Because that's the way God relates to me and Jesus relates to me, and I want to be like Jesus. And so, and again, don't be fake, but reach out. Be something. You can celebrate progress. Where have you grown in any area of your life? Are you more patient today than you used to be? Are you more aware today than you used to be? Are you more gracious today than you used to be? Are you more thankful today than you used to be? Find something. And if you don't know, ask people around you, hey, what are some areas that you've seen me grow in? Ask friends and ask people that love you and ask people to sow into your life if you're unaware because of a shame voice or a negative self-image or you're always putting yourself down. Listen, we all have something to celebrate. In what ways has God changed your life? You know, I keep thinking about that. You know, God is changing me constantly. Constantly. Now, sometimes it takes weeks and months for me to catch up with what he's doing, and then sometimes it's like I get the boom and the bam all at once, and I'm on target. But celebrate progress. Just the awareness of a growth area is progress, amen? You can't change what you don't know with God helping you. And so, hey, here's a new skill. This is something I want to teach you. This is something I want to do in you. I was celebrating getting unstuck and just telling my story everywhere I was going over the past 3 or 4 weeks because that was so profound to me because people have been praying for me to get unstuck. And then after several months, I got unstuck. That's worth celebrating, amen? So where are you making progress? Where have you experienced a breakthrough? Now, little parentheses here. All of us can think about times in our lives when God did a miracle or a zap, where we prayed about something and then it just happened and we really didn't have to do anything. Think about those. Every one of us have those areas. The problem is we wish that God would do that in every area of our life, right? But Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you're supposed to work your salvation out. You're supposed to do it, right? It all depends on you. No, verse 13 says, for it is God who is at work within you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's already taken the initiative. God is already at work in your life. Our job is not to find what to work on and figure it out, is to work out what he's working in us and to partner with him. He's taking the initiative. Let's agree with him. Let's partner with him. And then we go, yeah, but I prayed about this. I need this financial breakthrough or I need this answer to prayer. And he's not doing that. One of the things that I've learned to do in my prayer time and in my spiritual practices is say, God, what are you doing right now? Help me to be aware. Because sometimes that unanswered prayer or that chronic sickness or that burden that you're carrying for that wayward prodigal in your life, sometimes it becomes all-encompassing and it actually hides like clouds the sun of the sunlight of how he's answering prayers in other areas. Are you with me? So there's a mystery here. I just read those testimonies of people that got healed over the past couple of weeks. Those were encouraging, right? Now, some of us who are dealing with chronic issues are going, that's really good. Lord, I want to express thanks and I want to celebrate that, but what about me? Right? The Bible says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. The Bible tells us to stay there. Like the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, the man that was paralyzed 37 years, and he kept going to the pool of Bethesda. Listen, I wish that everything that happened in my life was instant. But there's not very many things in my life that are instant. And the mystery, I pray for people all over the world, and I see him do things and heal people, and I'm going, Lord, I'm reminding you that my back is injured, or that I have this chronic thing or whatever. Or Lord, this friend that I'm praying for, thank you for doing that with this friend. You know, I just prayed for a person with MS a couple of weeks ago. We were out doing something in some pastoral meeting, and they asked us to pray for this person. And so I remembered a lady that was healed, one of the first people I saw a significant miracle healed of MS back in, I think it was 1990, a member of our church. And so that built my faith to pray for this person, amen? But I don't see every person that I pray for with MS get healed yet, but I'm gonna keep on praying. I'm gonna be faithful in the day of small things. I'm not gonna despise the day of small things because I want to see the breakthrough, and also because I know what it's like to have things that are chronic that aren't getting answered. So that motivates me to stay in there, amen? So you are so excited today that you have gotten three new skills to practice. Or you were reminded of them, right? Express thanks, connect with people eye to eye, and let your face light up, and to celebrate progress, to celebrate growth. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That word joy in Romans 14:17 can be this emotion, or it can also mean to celebrate. Listen, when any person gives their life to God or gets right with God, there's a party in heaven, and our God knows how to party. The kingdom of God is not as drudgery as we think it is. God knows how to do it and do it right. I pray that we'll learn how to celebrate progress in one another, in ourselves. So here are the reminders. We were created for attachment to God and others. God hardwired our lives to run on his fuel of joy. So we need to feed our need for attachment to God and for others, and to fuel our lives with joy. And we need to practice ways to increase our joy. Pick one of those. So what we're going to do now, as we come to ministry time, before we invite people up to pray, I want you to think back, or just think right now, what are some things you're grateful for? One or two or three. What is something that you're thankful for? Lord, would you help us to become aware and to pay attention? What are those? So you can write them down in your phone, you can write them down in a journal, or you can just begin to pray them out loud. But let's just thank the Lord right now, okay? Right where you are. Would you just begin to thank him and name this thing and say, thank you, Lord, thank you. We practice our way into a new and better way of being. Thank you, Lord. And then think about some of the events over your life, these moments, and think about them and meditate on them with the Lord and ask him to help you to remember, to feel, and you can actually just enter into that and then write that down as a golden memory and begin to think about those things and let them fuel your joy. So one of the reasons why I'm so thankful for the rain is because we've been praying for months, and hearing that thunder and that rain, I know in our traumatized area since what happened in 2017 with Hurricane Harvey, it's really hard for some people to hear that, but I want you to know we need rain for our state and for our nation, and so I'm just really super grateful for that. So what are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? What are you appreciative of? We're a people who remember and we celebrate the skills that God has given to us to do life together and to do life with God. So that's what we've tried to do today, is to remind us or to teach us new skills. And that was the goal. Again, I want to be really clear. Calvary, y'all know I love to teach, I love to share, I love to equip, but the purpose is unto transformation. Unto us growing in our spiritual formation, our emotional maturity, becoming Christ-like. So we've got thank God we've got his help, and thank God he's going to be with us this whole journey. And thank God we get to do this together. Let's stand.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode from Calvary Community Church Podcast. For more content and information about Calvary Community Church, please visit our website at calvaryhouston.com.